All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set for a very intriguing bout that goes down at Bellator 292 on March 10th. A heavyweight clash as Valentin Moldavsky and Linton Vassell clash, and very excited to have Linton on the show to talk a bit about that. How's your day going there, man?
My day's going well. It's going good, man. A little bit of treatment earlier on, run a few errands, and now I'm about to go hit some pads. Nice little sweat, you know, all the hard work's done, so now it's just staying on top of things, not getting injured.
Yeah, for sure, definitely important, but this seems like a big one for you. Like, I mean, it being the second time you're fighting Valentin Moldavsky and it being like a redemptive kind of opportunity and everything like that. Like, what were your thoughts when this bout offer initially came your way? I'd think you'd be, you know, pretty excited about it, to say the least.
Well, the way it happened is they said, you're not fighting Bader. And I was like, what the hell? I was like, well, I want to fight. The only fight that makes sense is Moldavsky. And I said, we'll get that fight for you. And then when I got the contract, seriously, I was grinning ear from ear. Because obviously, as a man, as an athlete, competitor, whatever you want to say, no one wants to lose, you know. And the way I lost was disgusting. Like, I'd rather him knock me out or finish me with a submission or referee stoppage. Like, I just couldn't do nothing in that third round. So, obviously, I got to get him back. I can't be laying on the floor not doing nothing. So, I got to get this redemption and this vengeance back. So, I was very excited when I got the news. I got my wish.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you talk about like that situation of not being able to do anything in the latter stages of the fight. Like, based on some interviews I'm seeing, that seemed to be like a byproduct of, like, I guess at the time that was like one of your like earlier kind of heavyweight forays, at least in this run, like coming in at 250 and kind of saying you felt too slow, I guess.
Yeah, so it's cut you off. That was first heavyweight fight. I was always a light heavyweight, so I'd weigh about 235 and then cut down to 205. So it was just, I put on a little bit too much weight. I came in at 247, I think, maybe even 250 before the fight, I'm not sure. But now I was around about 247 when they actually weighed me on weighing day. And so obviously that extra 10 pounds, or 12 pounds, whatever you want to say, 13, makes a difference. And I thought I could carry on fighting at a fast, hard pace the whole 15 minutes. And obviously it caught up with me. Obviously it was beating me up as well. But after that happened, I went back, cut the weight down to 240. And you can see what happened there after that. I went on a four-fight win streak. So that shows in myself and shows in my training and my belief that if I do things right, you know, listen to my body and do things the right way, the results will come.
Yeah, and I mean, that was the last time you have tasted defeat in MMA, like putting together an impressive four-fight win streak since then. And it seems like you've navigated the, I guess, heavyweight division approach in a more refined way since that initial go around. Like, would you say those are the, I guess, two biggest differences, like just in the sense of your familiarity with like preparing for, you know, the kind of heavyweight shape you need to be in and everything like that? Like, do you think that's the, you know, biggest difference, like the familiarity with the heavyweight division coupled with maybe the confidence from the momentum you have?
Yes, definitely. It's like, because obviously going from like heavyweight to heavyweight, that's a big difference in weight. So obviously carrying around that weight and obviously moving people around, you know, it's a bit tiring. So I would say my fight style has changed, not so much, but in the fact that I don't bulldoze. I think I used to bulldoze quite a bit and try and get the fight finished, like, in the first 10 seconds as quickly as I could. Now I'm taking my time, I'm enjoying it, finding the holes rather than forcing them. And I think when you try and force things, you panic, you get tired because you're forcing it, you're using all your strength. And obviously it catches up and you get more tired, fatigued, and, you know, he is able to capitalize.
And you were mentioning before that you were almost kind of surprised you didn't outright get the heavyweight title shot. And I think myself and a few other people were also, you know, surprised by that there. But I just think the dynamics with this fight, especially just both of you having that previous history with Ryan Bader, I would feel like it would be all but assured that this is a title eliminator. Is this something Bellator has expressly communicated to you at all?
Yes, 100%. This is title eliminator. This is. And going off what you said, we both have history with Bader. So, in a way, gutted that I didn't get the title fight. But in a way, this is probably the best, the second best matchup to have. Obviously, you know, because Bader's beat us both, you know. So obviously, a big win over Mordosky, there should be no reason why I won't be next.
Yeah, I think it would just like work out really well for you, because it seems like for the last like little while, because I mean, you've had those respective fights in 2017 and 2019, and as much as there's, you know, that unfinished business and I guess desire to, you know, have rematches in those instances, I would feel like this is like an entirely, you know, different version of yourself at this point, and also kind of well set up too, being that if you get your ideal outcomes here, you could, you know, likely get both of those fights this year.
Yeah, exactly, man. And I think it happens for a reason, and this is the path right now. You know, I wish it was straightforward, but you know, I'm enjoying the process, and it's a big test to see what I've got, what's in me, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a great part of your preparations has been, like, you know, the Killcliffe FC components. At least that was like the case the last time we were kind of talking there. Like, it just seems like there's like an endless amount of like elite heavyweight bodies from across like all the big kind of global platforms. Can you kind of speak to how this last camp has gone? I would think it would be great, as always.
Yeah, camp's been good. I've had a lot of good training going on. Them times where you want to quit, like, I don't want no more, I've got going again today, you know. And we all hold each other accountable. That's what I love about this team. Like, just because you might be on a rough day, still get that working. You might be on a rough day in the cage. Are you going to quit? Or are you going to push through it until the, you know, until the fight or the round's done? So that's one big thing I love about my team. And the coaches, Henry, Greg, you know, they proper push to the, you know, to that next step, you know, and make sure you're doing what's supposed to be done, should I say.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Go ahead.
What they expect from you as well, and what the team expects from you. You know, we'll have a high work rate, so, you know, they push you and make sure you do it.
Yeah, I love to hear you have that, you know, support dynamic around you and such a, you know, well-renowned team, obviously. But I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least briefly, you know, touch on the last fight there, because, I mean, that was, you know, quite the turnaround there over Tim Johnson. Like, what were the, I guess, main takeaways from that Bellator 277 victory? I would think you'd be able to, you know, take away a lot from a performance like that.
It shows you, like, when times are hard, I just hulk out. And I can take an E Honda headbutt as well. I don't know if you saw that. As he comes rushing in, he ends up headbutting me, but he ends up cutting his own head open. So I don't know if he got more dazed, you know, because I was dazed anyway. I took away from that that I can take a beating, fight for adversity, come on top and win spectacularly as well. So that, for me, that's my favorite fight. And for me, that shows the heart that I've got, you know, because I've never had a fight like that. So, that showed me a lot in myself.
Yeah, well, I mean, it says a lot that you speak so highly to the performance. I mean, you're, you know, an experienced pro at this juncture, obviously. So for that last one to be, like, you know, such an emphatic, memorable one for you is, you know, great. Just the fact that you said you were able to tap into something new you hadn't prior in your career.
Yeah, never felt something like that, you know. Yeah, so yeah, it was something new to me, and like you said, sorry. And I feel like everyone needs to sort of go through that at some point in their life or their career, should I say.
Yeah, for sure. And then just kind of in redirecting the focus to this one, like we've, you know, understandably talked about the differences in, you know, what you bring to the table from the first fight versus to this upcoming rematch. Like, what do you see in terms of like Valentin Moldovsky's stylistic attributes whereby you can tell maybe he's like improved or differed from, you know, the first fight relative to, you know, leading into this rematch, I suppose?
I think he's the same, to be honest. Not saying that he hasn't evolved, but he's a high volume. You know, he likes his takedowns, he likes his overhands. I haven't really seen him finishing people. It's more he'll go the distance and try and wear you out and, you know, try and beat you in the later rounds. But yeah, I feel like, you know, obviously he's got better because he's still winning and stuff. But yeah, I feel like if we put us two together from where I've gone to where he's gone, I've just shot up. You know, I've gone on a tear, and finishing people is a big part of that. It's all good winning, but if you're not finishing them, making a statement, you're not improving.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've had like a good run of that though, especially, I mean, recently, just in looking at the 4-fight streak. I mean, the 75% finishing rate across it, like that Tyrell Fortune fight, the only one to go the distance. So, yeah.
Yep. And that shows in myself, you know, the levels I've improved from the first fight that I had with Moldovsky, and even the fight I had with the other guys as well, you know, because it got to a point where I wasn't really finishing people as much like I used to. And I felt that was probably the end of the light heavyweight days for me, when I stopped finishing people and I started to lose. It was like, yeah, it's time to, you know, bump up to heavyweight. Maybe I should have done it before, but I felt like we all have our journey, and this is the journey that I'm supposed to be on.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, maybe this might come as a random question, but just as we're kind of talking about, like, you know, a tenured light heavyweight navigating a move up to heavyweight, just at the time of this recording, John Jones readying to, you know, step up and fight for the heavyweight title. Like, is that something you've been following at all? Do you have any, like, thoughts or inferences to, you know, how he's navigated that transition between divisions, I suppose?
Yeah, I've been watching it, not too much, because obviously I've been trying to focus on myself. But yeah, I've been watching it. We all know he's a dangerous man, but so Cyril as well. On the feet, I feel like Cyril's got that. But we all know John Jones, he has a great fight IQ, and I think he's going to take him down. And if that does happen, then John Bones is going to be the new heavyweight champion. If it stays on the feet, then we'll have Cyril as the new heavyweight champion. I feel like Cyril's quicker on his feet, you know, and he'll catch him. But if he goes to the ground, then yeah, it's end game for him.
Yeah, for sure. And then I guess in speaking about the heavyweight title picture, like, I mean, we've talked about it before, like you could conceivably, you know, get those two fights and be right in that mix and everything by the end of the year. Like, is that like a express goal you have for this year? Like, do you, like, you know, is that like a concrete, like set in stone thing you would like to actualize into reality this year? Like, obviously certain things have to fall into place, but is that like something, like as the 2022 ended kind of thing you're thinking is like an express goal for this year?
100%, you know, I want to be king, I want to be champ, you know. I've got Moldovsky to take out of my way first, and then I can fight the champion, but I can't look past Moldovsky, you know. Got to be respectful, you know. It's the test I got in front of me first, so I got to deal with him, and then, you know, I'll be coming for Bader.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, clashing with a former interim champion here, definitely a stiff test and a notable fight, but like I was kind of saying earlier, I do also want to be mindful of your time and busy schedule too, Linton. So to that point, is there anything you might want to add as like a final parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for your time, Dylan, man. I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. It was great having you on ahead of, you know, such a consequential fight. And yep, definitely excited for Bellator 292. And yep, people can check that out on March 10th. I know that's what I'm going to be doing. And yeah, to reiterate, thanks for you know, given some great insights and a bit of your time, man. Much appreciated, and you have a good rest of your day too.
And you, brother.